This is Inspired, where we explore the beliefs shaping our world. I'm your host, Amber Khan. April 21st is Yom HaShoah, or Holocaust Remembrance Day. It's a time to mark the loss of 6 million Jews murdered by the Nazis in World War II. Novelist Margaret McMullen was traveling in Israel when, on a whim, she typed her family's last name into the victims' database at Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust Museum. A relative's name popped up, a man she had no idea existed. With the name came an assignment: to remember this man as an act not only of commemoration, but also of reclamation and defiance. McMullen's search took her halfway around the world and deep into a past some in her family wanted left untouched. She spoke with producer Lauren Marco about the journey to find this man and how it led to her first memoir, Where the Angels Lived.
You are from Mississippi. Tell us about your upbringing there.
Well, I was born in Newton, Mississippi, which I like to say is between Chunky and So-So. And that leaves people a little worried.
What does that mean? It's between Chunky and So-So.
Those are two towns.
Oh, you're not kidding.
No.
Okay.
It really is between Chunky and So-So. And that's near Meridian, okay, which usually helps people a little bit.
Yes.
So that's where I was born. And my father was born in Lake, Mississippi, which is near Newton. But my mother was born in Vienna, Austria. And she left Vienna, Austria in 1939 after Hitler came. So they met in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
And my mother, when she met my father, she was working for the CIA. And my father was selling tractors for International Harvester.
Wow.
And then they moved to Mississippi, and I was born there.
And we should say you have not a few titles to your name.
Yes. I've got 9 books, most of them fiction. So this is my first memoir, or nonfiction, Where the Angels Lived.
Let's talk about how you got the idea for this book. The inspiration happened thousands of miles from your home.
It did, in Israel. I was invited to Israel as a part of a group called the Writers Gathering, and they set aside a day for the Holocaust Museum, Yad Vashem. And I went to the archives and just decided to type in my mother's maiden name, Engel Dionysi, and up popped this name, Richard. And it was a name that I absolutely did not recognize from any of the stories that I'd heard about my mother's past. And when I printed out the data, the archivist said, no one has ever called this man down. No one has ever properly remembered him or even knows anything about him. You're his relative. Now you're responsible for him. And you must remember him. She gave me a sheet called the Page of Testimony. And on it was a list of questions. What's the victim's profession? Victim's place of worship? And I didn't know how in the world I could find all this information. I know that he died, it said that he died in Mauthausen concentration camp in 1944. That's all I had. And that he was also living in Pécs, Hungary.
So explain this connection. You knew you had Jewish relatives. Mm-hmm. You suspected some died in the Holocaust, but you yourself are Catholic.
Yes. So my mother was raised Catholic. Her father was Jewish. And when they left Vienna, Austria in 1939, Hitler came in 1938. And my grandfather had converted to Catholicism. He was a university professor at the University of Vienna. He taught alongside Sigmund Freud. And I think that sort of saved them for a while. He thought it would keep him safe. And I think he thought that converting would keep him safe as well. But I don't want to question his motives in his conversion. But he told his daughter, you're the last Engel Dionysi. So he never told her about this family in Hungary, all of his family, all Jewish, who had not converted. He never told my mother about them.
So you didn't know this growing up?
I did not know this.
But you get to Yad Vashem, and then there's an actual person, a name.
And that's it. Yeah, I was always interested in Judaism, and perhaps that is because I knew that my mother was, had this past, and she never considered herself Jewish, and I think that was her father's intention.
Hmm.
He wanted her to look forward, forget about everything, and be American,
yeah.
Which did not mean to him, I think, being Jewish,
and
so he really put that all behind him, And that, I think, made his relationship with his own mother very difficult because his mother eventually got to Washington, D.C. as well, and she was a faithful Jew. She remained Jewish.
And you knew her.
I did. She hid in Czechoslovakia during the war years, managed to walk to a Red Cross tent, and finally made her way to Washington, D.C., where she lived for a long time and died when she was 105 years old. And I was there when she died.
Wow.
And I loved her so much.
So there you are at Yad Vashem about 10 years ago, we should say.
Yes.
About 10 years ago, and you type in the name,
mm-hmm.
and Richard pops up,
mm-hmm.
and you have a very visceral reaction mm-hmm. to this name you've never heard of.
Mm-hmm.
What was your reaction?
I couldn't stop leaking tears. Mm-hmm. It was shaking. It was the jolt. It was almost like a lightning mm-hmm. bolt. I had written a novel called In My Mother's House while Yad Vashem was being built years before. And in that novel, I had addressed all of these issues, and I thought I was done with it.
You didn't want this assignment that had been given to you by a staff member of Yad Vashem, Israel's Holocaust Museum, but she said you had to take it. You didn't just make a couple of phone calls. You changed your life.
I felt like I needed to find out about Richard to piece together, to properly remember his life. And in doing that, I also found out the importance of memory. I kept thinking, if this man died and no one remembers him, I feel like I would have murdered him again.
Hmm.
And one thing I found out, too, was that he was sort of what a family member, who I did find, told me that Richard was an unimportant man, and it just kind of slayed me that someone would say that. I wanted to find out as much as I could about this man, and I went in thinking, as a novelist, I'll write a novel about him.
You went to Hungary to find out about Richard. You took your husband and you took your son. Why was it important to move your life to Hungary?
So after I found out that this town, Pécs, Hungary, existed, I applied for and got a Fulbright grant to teach and research in Pécs, Hungary. I taught at the University of Pécs. And it felt really important for me to bring my husband and our son. It felt really important that we all be there together and learn this information together. I was going to be lonely without them, and I needed their help.
Yeah.
It was a family cause.
Who was helpful in Hungary, and who was not helpful?
Everyone wanted to help. There are so few Jews left in Hungary, especially in Pécs. And so there were very few people who had knowledge of Judaism and also what had happened. I think everything started opening up when my students came to my office and said, "Why are you here, of all places?
Yeah.
Why would you be here?" So I told them about my search, and they started emailing me maps of Jewish cemeteries, which led me to the correct dates for Richard. In their own way, they learned as well, because they would want to know, okay, what'd you find out today? So I found out that Richard had been a part of the family business, which was a lumber business and also a construction business, and they built all of the major buildings in the city of Page, the synagogue, the one particular building where he had been imprisoned at one point after World War One, and then his own home where he was arrested.
And you were able to see these places.
Yes.
And what are they today?
Well, what's interesting is that the German occupation in Page didn't last long, and the Hungarians didn't put up a fight. The Hungarians gave up their Jews really easily. So all of them were led to the train station, and then they were transported mostly to Auschwitz, but also to Mauthausen, and that's where Richard was transported. If you went to Auschwitz, you had less of a chance of survival. Weirdly, where Richard died in Mauthausen, you had a better chance of survival because it was a slave camp. Mm. But he didn't.
Yeah. I was looking up some numbers. I found out that before World War II, Hungary had 825,000 Jews. 560,000 were murdered in the Holocaust. What's left of Jewish Pesh?
What's left is a beautiful synagogue on Kossuth Square that my great-great-grandfather built. It was Richard's place of worship, and it used to be just filled with people, obviously, just by the records they kept and what I've read. And before World War II, Pesh was this vibrant city. It still is. But the rabbis at this synagogue were so interesting and open that people from different religions would come to hear their talks. They only are open now for high holy days because it's so expensive to heat.
Mm.
It's crumbling.
Mm.
It's a beautiful building, even in its disrepair. I worshipped in a smaller area near the synagogue with the Jews who were left to worship, and they were about 10.
And elderly?
Elderly, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Before you left to go to Hungary, your mother warned you to be careful about telling your story or sharing what you were trying to find out.
Yeah.
What was she afraid of?
You know, my mom, she was raised to basically keep her mouth shut because she was living in that time in Vienna. And she was living in a time when her third grade teacher was Goebbels' aunt.
Mm.
And every morning she had asked the class, "Who had dinner at your house last night?" So she knew not to speak. We'd come in when Viktor Orban had just become prime minister, and he had already said in several speeches that his aim was to keep Europe, not just Hungary, Europe Christian. There were swastikas popping up again. You know, when I visited that synagogue where Richard worshipped and the synagogue that my great-great-grandfather had built, I opened up, there's a little desk in what I'll just call a pew, and I saw the graffiti that was written out in ballpoint pen. So it was recent, and it said, "Boil soap out of Jews."
Hmm.
I just felt like I was living in a kind of parallel universe to the one that I was researching. I was researching the 30s and the 40s in Hungary, and here I was in Hungary in 2010, and I felt like there were ghosts of the past popping up all over the place.
Has Hungary made an attempt to come to grips with its role during the Holocaust and how quickly it gave up its Jews?
It's really a difficult time. And I know when we visited Mauthausen to say the Kaddish for Richard there, I had looked for, there were all of these memorials from other countries, kind of apologies
mm-hmm.
for what they had done in their role, and I couldn't find the one for Hungary.
Mm.
There are no plaques in Pécs for the Jews. There's no memorial.
For people who want to honor the dead, as you did, maybe they don't get a Fulbright or a book contract, where can a person start?
You can start from your home. You don't even have to travel. Yad Vashem, the Holocaust Museum in Israel, has an online database, and you can start with that. You type in names, and you type in as much information as you can, and then they research it for about 6 months.
Huh.
And then and only then do they upload it onto the data search. So you can find those pages of testimony on your computer. And then you can also find out who made out those pages of testimony. And those might be your relatives. I went to a bookstore in Maine, and a man in the audience stood up and said, I'm from Pécs, Hungary. I think we're related.
Oh, wow.
And he's a third cousin.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's still happening. I feel like this is a living document.
So you got an assignment to find out about Richard Engel de Genosi.
Mm-hmm.
You found out about many more people. Do you feel in writing about him and writing about them, you fulfilled the assignment?
I did. So I went back to Yad Vashem to present the book to the archivist. I told her some of the things that I had found, and I told her about some of the eyewitness accounts. That was incredibly moving to be with her and be there again. And also, they did a wonderful thing. They allowed me to lay a wreath in the Hall of Remembrance for Richard and all the other angels. Engel means angel. So I was allowed to lay a wreath for my family who all died.
I think we've come full circle.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Oh my goodness, thank you so much.
That was novelist Margaret McMullen speaking with Lauren Marco about her latest book, Where the Angels Lived. You can find out more about McMullen and see the pictures of the family she discovered at her website, www.margaretmcmullen.com. Coming up, the children of Holocaust survivors talk about the power of their parents' traumatic memories on their own lives. This is Inspired. I'm your host, Amber Kahn.